तपकथामृतं ताप्तजीवनं कविभिरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमङ्गलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ये भुरिदा जनाः. The nectar of the words is the life for those who are scorched by the world. The words which have been uttered by the knowers of truth, which wipe out sins, the very hearing of which is beneficial, which are beautiful, pleasing to the ears, pleasing to the hearts, which are inexhaustible. Those who recount them on the earth are the givers of plenty. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. Today is a very auspicious day, which is called Janmashtami. Lord Krishna was born on this particular day. Just the Christians observe 25th December, birth of Christ. So the Hindus observe this day as the birthday of Lord Krishna. The infinite God takes human form. Why? God descends, that is called avatar. Why? What for? Krishna mentioned in the Gita, in the 4th chapter, Yada yada hi dharmaisya klanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmaisya tadatmanam shriyamham paritranayo sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sangasthapanarthayo sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna himself said, when the religion declines, irreligion prevails, I incarnate. Why? To protect the holy and to destroy the wickedness of the wicked people. They disturb this Mother Earth. So I remove those evil people from this earth. Moreover, sometimes some people say God, 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 but they do not practice religion. Verbally, they uttered God's name. I incarnate to demonstrate people how to practice religion, Krishna said. How to practice religion? Some people are not very sincere. Verbally talking, God, 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 but they do not practice. So I come to show how to practice religion. So there are many things we find in our tradition, that why does God come to this earth? To change the life current, materialistic outlook of the people, destroy the selfishness. You see, his selfishness creates greed, greed for power. Look, all these wars and all these things, all greed for power. And so much turmoil, so much sufferings, people. Oh, I was watching this, some showing that how Austria is taking some Syrian, what is called, the refugees. So they are showing all these things. So much turmoil in this world in the name of religion. Anyhow, so God comes, and what is his message? That we are going to discuss tonight. I shall talk to you tonight about Bhagavad Gita. As the Christian people read and practice Bible, Muslims Quran, Jewish people Torah, Ten Commandments. Buddhist people practice Dhammapada. So Hindus practice Bhagavad Gita. In the tail piece of the Gita, that I shall tell you first, in the end of each chapter of the Gita, there is this few lines Vyasa wrote. Iti Sri Mahabharate Mahabharate Shatashahasram Sangitayam Vyasikam Bhishma Parvani Srimad Bhagavad Gita Asu Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yogashastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Sangvade such and such chapter ends. First Iti. Iti means here ends the first chapter. What is the first chapter? Well, the Bhagavad Gita. Where is it? It is in the Mahabharata. Mahabharata is the biggest epics in the world. It has 100,000 verses. If the Christian Bible, if you read Red Letter Bible, it only takes 3 hours. Within 3 hours, you finish what Christ said. But this book has 100,000 verses. Mahabharata, it is the story of the Bharata dynasty. Bharata dynasty. This Mahabharata has 18 chapters. The Gita is in the chapter connected with Bhishma. Just the war begins. What is this Gita? Mad Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad means God. Gita means song. God's song. The song sung by God, that is called Gita. Furthermore, Gita is part of the Upanishad. What is Upanishad? The Vedas has 4 parts, each Veda. First is called Mantra, then Brahman Sangita, Brahman, Aranyak, Upanishad. Every Upanishad has 4 parts, every Vedas. There are 4 Vedas. First is Sangita. Sangita means hymns, glorifying God. Second chapter is Brahmana, rituals. Third chapter is Aranyaka, meditation and prayer. And fourth chapter is called Upanishad, philosophy. Upa means near, ni means definitely, shad means destroy. If you go to a real teacher, he will definitely destroy your ignorance so that you can see God. That is called Upanishad. So, this Gita is Upanishad. Moreover, who wrote this Gita? Vyasikam Vyasa, the great sage, illumined soul. Vyasa is a sage who compiled the 4 Vedas. He wrote the Mahabharata, including the Bhagavad Gita. Gita is the part of the Mahabharata. He wrote 18 Puranas. He wrote Brahma Sutra, systematized the Vedanta philosophy. So this great sage Vyasa has a very important place in the Vedantic tradition. It is hard to think about the Hindu scriptures without Vyasa. Then Bhishma Parva. Bhishma was the great grandfather of this dynasty. He got a boon from his father that he can die according to his wish. This Gita has 700 verses and Krishna said 620, Arjuna 84, Sanjaya 40 and Dhritarashtra 1. One of our teachers told us Bhagavad Gita Krishna taught, but Krishna did not demonstrate. as God came and gave the message, and same God came as Sri Ramakrishna and demonstrated how to practice the Gita. So Sri Ramakrishna says the quintessence of the Gita is, if you repeat Gita, 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 that means Ta Gita, 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 that means renounce, renounce, renounce. The Gita teaches us how to be unattached. Have everything, live in this world, but don't be attached. How to do it? That technique you will have to learn from the Bhagavad Gita. Have everything, but don't be attached. How can I learn the things? So the Upanishads. Gita is the quintessence of the Upanishad. It is mentioned in the meditation of the Gita. Sarva Upanishado Gabo Dogda Gopala Nandana. Whole Upanishad, all Upanishad is just like a cow. And Gita is the milk which comes through the udder of the cow. So Gita is the quintessence of the Upanishads. Some verses of the Upanishads and Gita are the same. Brahma Vidya. What is Brahma Vidya? There are two types of knowledge. Supreme knowledge and inferior knowledge. What is inferior knowledge? The knowledge of the created objects. Physics, chemistry, mathematics, biology, geology, all these things which you learn from the university, all lower knowledge. Why? Why lower knowledge? Because those knowledge is connected, it is science, connected with the created objects of this world. And what is higher knowledge? Jayatad aksharam adhigamyate, through which you can know the unknown. You must know the unknown. Two pages of the book of our lives are missing. We do not know where we come from, we do not know where shall we go. So the purpose of religion is to bring back those two missing pages that Upanishad tells us, Gita tells us, missing pages of our lives. We see only 70 years, 80 years or 100 years, this lifespan. With this portion we do not know, the other portion we do not know. That is the purpose of the scriptures. Ajñātam gyāpakam śāstraṁ. The purpose of the scripture is to make us the unknown known. How can we know the unknown? Say Brahma Vidya, a knowledge of Brahman, the science of Brahman will teach us. And when you know this Brahman, you become Brahman. Brahma Vidya, Brahma Vibhavati. Then he says Yoga Shastri, the scripture of the yoga. What is yoga? Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga means control the thought waves of the mind. That is called yoga. Nowadays people say that I am a yogi, learned a few yoga postures in the studio, I am a yogi. Real yogi is he that who person has full control over the mind. He is a yogi. So he is telling that, do you know what is the mystery of this yoga? Vritti. What is going on inside you? Thought waves. One after another. Just like EKG. There is, you see, heartbeat goes up and down, up and down, up and down. So in human mind, thought waves are rising like this. From our awaking stage to the dream stage to sleeping stage, constantly thoughts are moving like this. The yogi has full control over those thoughts. He knows how to stop it. When mind just stops, world just stops. Space, we transcend the space-time. That is the mystery. The yogis know how to stop this world. Time stops. Anyhow, that is Yoga Shastra, scriptures of the yoga. It is a big subject. Do you know how does it go? Vritti and Smriti. Vritti means thought waves and memory. Thought waves, memory. Whatever you are thinking, every thought is going into your memory. Chup, chup. You cannot It's just hard to believe. Perhaps at the end of the day, if you see your graph, that how many good thoughts and bad thoughts pass through your minds, you will be amazed. That what is in my mind. It is just like, do you know how does it look? You are constantly throwing stones in your swimming pool. Then at the end of the day, you take the water out. My goodness, so many stones. Did I throw all those things? You did. In your mind, you threw a stone. And in my mind, I threw a stone. And all these thoughts are there. And smriti, memory can comes back. Hey, do you remember when you were in kindergarten, who was your teacher? Boom! Immediately 60, 70 years back, I can bring back memory. A human mind is a mysterious phenomenon. All these things are hidden in the mind. The yogis know how to deal, because happiness, misery, liberation and bondage, everything is in the mind. How to tackle this mind? That we must learn from this Bhagavad Gita. Then he says, Sri Krishna Arjuna Sangvadi. It is a dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. What kind of dialogue? Human beings have two problems. All human beings. First, confusion. We do not know sometimes what is right, what is wrong. That is called moha. Confused. Second, fear. Fear. We have always fraught with fear. Day and night. Fear of losing job, fear of losing husband, fear of losing wife, fear of losing money, fear of losing body, death, happiness, misery. Fear, fear, uncertainty. To always remember, these are the two basic problems of human beings. Confusion and fear. Arjuna had these two basic problems. Krishna taught this Gita and removed these problems from his mind. So it is a great psychology, it is a great philosophy, it is a really book of life. There are 18 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. Like 18 steps to reach the top of the house. Each step. The first step is Vishada Yoga, chapter on grief, sorrow. Religion begins from sorrow. This world is too much misery, too much suffering. I must get out of it. I must get rid of it. Misery, misery, misery. Sabbam dukkham dukkham. Oh, everything is full of sorrow, misery, misery. I want to get rid of it. That Krishna taught how to get rid of misery. Everybody has misery, suffering. Sometimes or other. Nobody is absolutely happy or absolutely miserable in this world. Do you know what happens? A happiness and misery rotate in a cyclic order. I am happy today, next day perhaps I am unhappy. Again happiness, again misery. We are constantly rotating these places. How to get rid of it? Krishna will tell you in the Gita. How to transcend this pair of opposites? Happiness, misery. Profit, loss. Good, evil. All these pairs, all human beings are moving like this way. That Swamiji made a beautiful remark. Madam, the pendulum of the clock must swing. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Happiness, misery. Happiness, misery. Happiness, misery. If you see human life, it is just like moving in a pendulum. Our goal is to stop the pendulum. We shall transcend both happiness and misery. But what is there? Beyond happiness and behind misery? There is your real nature, Atman, God. That is our goal. The moment we touch it, we go beyond happiness and misery. We become one with the bliss of God. Completely saturated with bliss, inside, outside. Bliss, bliss, bliss. That is our goal. But we are searching that bliss in the worldly objects. That is the wrong place to search. You are supposed to search within. There is God. Anyhow, that is the tail piece of the Gita. And now, do you know what is in my mind? I remember I did this work. Our Dr. Houston Smith, who wrote the famous, he is the pioneer of the Eastern religions in the United States, started in 1940s. He was born in China. He was the professor of St. Louis Washington University. So both we are together on 19th October 1997 in Kansas City. We are both are speaking from the same platform. So he was asking me, Swami, I am asked to write four introduction of four famous classics of the world. Harper and Row will publish it. Bhagavad Gita for the Hindus, the Way of a Pilgrim, that is the one Christian mystics, then Rumi and Dhammapada. These four books, I would like to write four introductions. So could you tell me something about the Gita? So I went to the breakfast table, I told you about Gita. Then he was asked, you were so impressed, he said, Swami, could you write down for me? So I wrote down for him that I am going to tell you. That's what I told him. First, Bhagavad Gita. It is a song of God. Character, the topic, uniqueness of the Gita. That is my topic. Second, it is a sum of life. Beautiful language with profound philosophy and tremendous Catholicity. Three, it is a non-sectarian scripture. All sects of Hinduism accept the message of the Gita. And all sects wrote commentaries on the Gita. The Vaishnavas, the Brahmas, the Shaivas, the Ganapatas, the Vedantis, everybody study Gita. Non-sectarian. It works on everybody. Gita talks about the harmony of religions before the advent of Buddhism, Christianity and Islam. But when his Gita was came, it is 1500 to 2000 BC. That is the time of Krishna we know from our history. And Swami Vivekananda, on 11th September 1893, uttered this verse at the Parliament of Religions in Chicago. Yathamam prapadyante tang sataiva bhajamyam mama vartmanuvartante munushya partha sarvasha. Whosoever comes to me through whatsoever form, I reach him. All men are struggling through paths which in the end lead to me. As different rivers originated from different places, all meet the ocean. When they meet the ocean, they do not say, I am Columbia River, I am Colorado River, I am Hudson River. All the rivers forget their name and form the moment they meet the ocean. So all the religious paths forget their name and fame the moment they reach God. Gita talks about the harmony of religions. Sixth, during the time of Krishna, two philosophical schools are fighting. Great fight. Karmakanda, the school of Jaimini, through work, through rituals, we shall reach the ultimate reality. Vedanta says, through Brahman, through philosophy, we shall reach the ultimate philosophy. So Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, these two schools are fighting about their supremacy, who is great. Krishna is a very intelligent person, balanced-headed. He built two columns. Here is path of action, here is path of knowledge. And what did he do? He perhaps saw our centuries arch and connected. Connected with love. Path of knowledge, path of action, connected with love. That Krishna did. All paths are right. Don't think that your path is the only path. Never think that way. That Krishna did. Through bhakti yoga, he made the arch. Then, the war of the Gita is symbolic. It is a war between the good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. The unrighteous party had 100 brothers and 11 million soldiers, and righteous party had 5 brothers and 7 million soldiers. Who will win in the battle? That is the question. Truth or untruth? Righteousness or unrighteousness? Who will win in the battle? You might have many people, you know. Worldly people are more than spiritual people in the world. But who will win? Our Upanishad says, Satyameva Jayate Nanritam. Truth alone triumphs, not untruth. The path of God is path of truth. So, if you watch your mind, you will see constantly a war is going on in the mind. An unseen warfare is continuously going inside all of our minds. Our good tendencies are bad tendencies. They are always at fight. So the last verse, Sanjaya, the person who got the boon from Vyasa, that he can tell, report everything to that blind king Dhritarashtra, who is the father of the unrighteous party, what is going on many miles away, reporting, he can see and reporting without going to the battlefield. He got a boon from Vyasa. So he was reporting. And then do you know what did he say? The site where this Yogeshwara Krishna, Krishna, the God of the yogis, Mahaparthad Jatra Partha Dhanurthara, even Krishna Arjuna, the great warrior, there is fortune, there is victory, there is prosperity, there is righteousness. This is my firm conviction. O king, you may think that your son will win because Bhishma, Drona, all great warriors are in your son's side and you have 11 million soldiers. They will not win. These people will win. When he was trying that to stop this war, sometimes Western people misunderstand Krishna and the Gita. What kind of God is Krishna who has instigated his disciple into war? What kind of scripture is the Gita which is in the perspective of the war? These people do not know the whole story. Arjuna was reluctant to participate. Krishna was reluctant to participate in the war. He at last gave his army to Duryodhana, the unrighteous party, and said that I shall not touch any weapon in this war. I shall be the charioteer of Arjuna, horse driver. The avatar, the incarnation of God, became a driver of the chariot. I shall not touch any weapon. Because both parties are my relatives. Now, Gita is not a martial song. Sometimes Western people get confused that why does Gita was taught, why was it taught in the battlefield? I shall answer. Gita is not a martial song or a message of the war. If so, it would be read in the cantonment. On the other hand, millions of spiritual aspirants read the Gita for guidance in daily life and enlightenment. When Swami Vivekananda was traveling in India, he carried two books, Imitation of Christ, he loved it, by Thomas A. Kempis, and Bhagavad Gita. These are the two books Swami Vivekananda carried. Now, The Gita was taught at the battlefield. Battlefield is the ideal place to teach Vedanta. Do you know why? Battlefield is the best place to practice Vedanta. Why? Two reasons. If you have attachment for your family, you cannot come to the battlefield. And if you have fear of death, you cannot come to the battlefield. So two things are absent when you come to the battlefield. You always remember, you have no fear of death. Second, you have no attachment for the war. Only that soldier can fight. I know any moment my life can go, one shot, finish. Whether I shall come back from the battlefield or not, I do not know. They jump. That is the time when a person is free from attachment and free from fear. That is the best time to teach Vedanta. So Krishna taught Arjuna Vedanta at the battlefield. He has no attachment for family, no fear of death. That student is the best student, you see. You see, if you want to be a student of Vedanta, you need four qualifications. First qualification is non-attachment. Second, power of discrimination. What is real, what is right, what is wrong. Third, you must have self-control. Fourth, a burning desire for liberation. If you have these four qualifications, then only you can be a student of Vedanta. Not so easy. Anyhow, in the battlefield, if a person breaks his hand or leg, it is perfectly all right. If you lose one hand and leg, that is all right. But if you lose your mind, you are gone. For that reason, behind the battlefield, you will find supply line. They know the whole country, American soldiers, when they fight, they know the whole country is behind us. They will supply all our arms, ammunition, they will supply food, whatever we need. My country will supply behind me. Supply line is extremely important in the battlefield. That he is talking about, you see. The moment you lose the mind, you lose the morale, that is disaster, terrible. You will never win. You know, truly speaking, sometimes some people say, in the Vietnam War, America dropped so many bombs, so many people fought, but they could not win. These Vietnamese, they have very poor arms, ammunition, but they had that tenacity. We must win. They do not lose their morale. They do not lose the mind. So much money, so much arms, ammunition, so many people lost their lives in the Vietnam War. But they could not win. It is not the money and weapons, the world. It is the determination. We must win. That Krishna will teach that who will win. Have a strong mind. Don't think it is on the battlefield, in our day-to-day life. I must win. I must do it. That willpower comes. Without willpower, we are like milk toast. That is the American expression, milk toast. I did not know what it is. My secretary explained to me, Swami, when a toast you soak into milk, without willpower, we are all milk toast. Now, what happened? Arjuna came in the battlefield and he saw that huge army, Bhishma, Drona, all this great army, and he was afraid. Shall I win or lose? So he lost his mind. Fear came. Confusion came. Fear came. So what to do? First he tried to escape. That is very common. The moment we find any problem in our day-to-day life, we want to escape. So what Arjuna wanted? I want to be a monk. I did the same thing. Arjuna says, Shreya Bhaktum Bhaksham Apiyo Loke. I do not want to win in this war and kill these people. I better be Manjikanj. Oh Krishna, please let me go. Krishna knew that he is escapist. He wants to escape. Well, there's no way you can go away. You will have to fight. That is your inner blood. That is your nature. And if you do not fight, there is a chaos in the society. Think of that. If hundreds of Hitlers in the society, what will happen? Chaos! Destructive power. They will destroy good people. That he was talking about. No. You have... Some people avoid the first chapter, but there is beauty in the first chapter. Vyasa portrays Arjuna, the great hero, just like a coward, shivering out of fear, the bow and arrow dropped from his hand, and with folded hands praying to Krishna, I want to be a monk. Each chapter of the Gita is a yoga which unites us with God. The first chapter is the grief of despondency, and the last chapter is the moksha yoga, liberation. Gita consists 18 chapters, like 18 steps to reach the goal or liberation. Krishna reminded Arjuna, you belong to the royal caste. If you do not fight against unrighteousness, the whole society will be in chaos. Fight as your duty and don't keep any enmity in your mind. That is another trick in our life. Kill, fight, but don't keep any enmity. Nirbhayo bhava, yuddhasya, fight, but don't keep any enmity in our mind. How to do it? I shall kill people, but I have no bad feeling or vindictiveness in my mind. How to do it? Listen to the secret. You can eat two ways, just to maintain your body, or you can eat food out of greediness, gulping food. You have no control over your tongue. Two ways you can eat. Krishna says, eat which is necessary for your body to maintain your energy. But don't overeat. Second, we want to sleep. We need rest. Rest can be done in two ways. First, just for the sake of the rest. Second, out of laziness. Let me lie down. You know, I asked a disciple, I told him, why don't you come on Sunday lecture? Swami, I get up my bed at 11 o'clock. Uncle, why? Swami, I go to bed at 3 o'clock on Saturday night. So I get up at 11 o'clock in the morning. So I cannot come to your temple to hear your lecture. What a disciple. And that disciple came to me and said, Swami, I have a little problem. Uncle, what is your problem? I have a little ego problem, Swami. I said, really, do you have an ego? Believe, yes, Swami. Then I said, do you miss the universe? No. Do you have millions of dollars? No. Do you have PhD degree? No. Then what do you have? People become proud if you have fantastic beauty or lot of money or lot of education, you know, learning. Then you can be proud. What do you have? You are right, Swami, but still I have ego. Ha ha ha. Gita. Those who are depressed, Gita's teachings act like anti-depression. Swami Vivekananda quite often quoted this verse to the people. Klebhyam asma gama partha naitatva yupapaidyate shudram ridayo dourbullam tyakta tishtha parantapa. Klebhyam asma gama partha. Listen, you should not yield to unmanliness, cowardice nature. Klebhyam asma gama partha. No, it does not befit you. You are a great hero. You should not be depressed. Kshudram ridayo dourbalyam taktva uttishtha parantapa. Shun, give up this faint-heartedness, this cowardish nature. Get up, rise and fight. This is anti-depression mantra of the Gita. It is in chapter 2. What are the signs of an illumined soul? If you read the Bhagavad Gita, please watch those few places. The last part of the second chapter of the Gita, the last part of the 12th chapter of the Gita, and the last part of the 14th chapter of the Gita. In the second chapter, Krishna mentioned the signs of a man of a steady wisdom. In this 12th chapter, he mentioned the signs of a true devotee, lover of God. And in the 14th chapter, he mentioned the signs of a person who transcended the three gunas. Read those verses, then exactly you know what you are supposed to do. Krishna is telling, look, here you are, and you should be like this. You see, the scriptures help us that what is our goal, what we want to be in our lives. That Krishna taught in those places. That is 4. About the sinners. You see, in Christianity, this doctrine of the original sin is inherent. I am a sinner. Our secretary, they're Protestant. She took her newborn grandchild for baptism. And the minister said, sprinkle water and telling you are a sinner and all these things. My secretary was about to get fit. Swami, this newborn baby did not do anything wrong. How can he be a sinner? It is sin. That is the reason Swami Vivekananda mentioned in the Parliament of Religion. Sin. It is a sinner to call a man so. It is a standing libel of human nature. Vedanta, there is no sin. Atman has no sin. We can have bad karma, but we will suffer. But Atman is free from sin. Apahato papma. But you know that Shankarbhadra reason, but Krishna says, Upichet Shudracharo Bhajate Mamanina Bhak Sadureva Samantebya Samyak Babusitisa. Even a person does all heinous, very bad deeds in a life, but the moment he worships me, he becomes pure. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashat Shande Nigochati. Immediately he becomes Dharmatma. He becomes a very virtuous person. The moment he meditates and touches God. Kuntiya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Listen, Arjuna, I promise my devotee never perishes. My devotee never perishes. I love them. I protect them. God protects the devotees. So what am I supposed to do? And what God will do to me? That is also Krishna mentioned in the Gita. This much you do, and this much I shall do. Let us both compromise. What you are supposed to do? Machitta madgoto prana bodhayanta parasparam katantasya mam nittam tushanti cha ramanti cha तेषां सप्तदियुक्तानां भजतां प्रतिबुद्धकं ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं येन माम् उपयान्ति इति तेषामहं अनुकम्पार्थमहम् अज्ञानजं तं नाशयामि आत्मभावस्तु ज्ञानोदीपेन भाषत. फर्स्ट थ्री लाइन्स फॉर यू, नेक्स्ट थ्री लाइन्स फॉर मी, दीज आर द सिक्स लाइन्स. मत चित्त, थिंक ऑफ मी. मत गोत प्राण, डाइवर्ट योर एनर्जी टुवर्ड्स मी. टॉक अबाउट मी, वर्शिप मी विद वन पॉइंटेड लव, दैट इज योर जॉब. एंड डू यू नो व्हाट शैल आई डू फॉर यू? आई शैल कनेक्ट यूर माइंड विद मी सो दैट यू कैन रीच मी. आई शैल लाइट द लैम्प ऑफ विजडम एंड डिस्पेल द ग्लूम ऑफ डार्कनेस फ्रॉम योर माइंड. दैट इज माई जॉब. God will light the lamp of wisdom in our hearts and remove the darkness, ignorance from our minds. And don't worry about afterlife, what will happen, when shall die. Krishna answered, Mayiva manadhasa mayi buddhim nivishaya nivasishyasi mayiva atha urdham na samshaya. It is God's promise to human beings. Mayiva manadhasa, put your mind in me. Focus, hold on me through your intellect. Then you will live in me. After death, do not doubt. It is God's promise to human beings that after death, what will happen? The lover of God will go to God. Then Krishna cautioned, there are seven steps of degradation. Be careful, Arjuna. If you meditate the sense objects, your attachment will grow. From attachment will come lust. If somebody stop your lust, you will be angry. From anger comes delusion. From delusion comes loss of memory. From the loss of memory comes the ruin of power of discrimination. These are the seven steps of degradation. You see, I remember when we are studying Shankara's crazy jewel of discrimination. Do you know what they taught me? Here is a tennis ball. You are on the fourth floor. If that ball slips from your hand, what will happen? It will tap, 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 tap. It will go over the steps, steps, over the steps, until it goes to the basement, the ball will not stop. So the moment a bad thought comes, if you do not stop it then and there, it will take you to the bottom floor. So jump, the moment ball is slipped from your hand, jump and catch it. I won't let you go. That is in Shankara's crazy jewel of discrimination. Some Westerners don't see any message in the first chapter of the Gita, but first chapter is very important. Here, Vyasa, the author, set the stage where the whole drama was enacted. Work incessantly, but don't be attached. Nishkam karma and unmotivated action, how is it possible? The secret of karma. Give up the desire for results of action. Give up the ego or doership. Offer the results of karma to God. God of the Gita is the absolute Brahman or God avatar, and again very human with love, compassion and feeling. Ramakrishna's comment on the Gita. The essence of the Gita was what you get by repeating the word 10 times. The word became reversal. It is then tagi, which refers to renunciation. The essence of the Gita is, O man, renounce everything and practice spiritual disciplines for the realization of God. Gita was translated in English in 1785. Warren Hastings, the first British Governor General of India, wrote in his introduction to the first English translation of the Gita by his friend, St. Charles Wilkins, who is the translator of the Gita. The writers of Indian philosophies will survive when the British dominion in India shall long have ceased to exist, and when the sources which it yielded of wealth and power are lost to remembrance. Gita came to America in 1840s. Carlyle gave a copy to Emerson, who is the one of the founders of the Transcendental Movement in the United States of America. And he wrote a poem on Brahma based on the Bhagavad Gita. I went to that place where Gita was taught, Kurukshetra, which is 80 miles from Delhi. Beautiful place. Whole life is full of war. Without life means war, fight. But we need a teacher who can guide us and help us so that we can win in the battle of life. Krishna said, work incessantly, but don't be attached, and put all the actions to God. Then there is the eulogy of Gita and all those things I wrote. I remember once Swami Prabhupada told me, he went to Swami Turiyananda. He experimented Gita on his life. He said, Swami, could you teach me Gita? Come tomorrow. He went, take one verse of the Gita, memorize it, get its meaning, practice it until you get perfection. Don't take the next verse. This is my first class and this is my last class to you. You can go. You can go. How to get command from God? That Krishna mentioned in the Gita. Karpanna dovushapahata svabhava pritshami tvang dharma sang muda cheta jasriyasyanna samburi tanme shishasthyam sadhimam tam prapannam. Overpowered in the various sense of my being of the evil of commiseration, my mind is confused about dharma. I supplicate you, tell me in sooth, which is the better? I am your disciple. Instruct me. Who have taken refuge in you? So, if you want to get command from God, you will have to be a disciple. You will have to surrender yourself to your teacher. Then he will tell you. Then Gandhi's quotation, I put it there. When doubt haunts me, when disappointment stares me in the face, and when I see not one ray of light on the horizon, I turn to the Gita and find a verse to comfort me, and immediately begin to smile as in the midst of overwhelming sorrow. My life has been full of external tragedies, and if they have not left any visible and indelible effect on me, I owe it to the teachings of the Gita. I mentioned another thing, you know, sometimes people think these four yogas, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga, each path will take you to the same goal. There are four kinds of people you will find in this world: active, emotional or devotional, rational, and meditative. These are the four yogas. Karma yoga, path of action, unselfish action. Bhakti yoga, path of devotion. Jnana yoga, path of discrimination, path of knowledge. And Raja yoga, path of meditation. These are the four ways you can reach the goal. The Swami, once Swami says that, you know, Krishna mentioned in these four places that each path can lead you to the goal. First, karma yoga. Therefore, always do without attachment the work you have to do. For a man who does his work without attachment, attains the Supreme. That is path of karma. Jnana yoga. Those who have completely controlled their senses and are even mind under all conditions, thus worship an imperishable, the ineffable, the unmanifest, the omnipresent, the incomprehensible, immutable, changing, unchanging, eternal, they devoted to the welfare of all beings attain me alone and none else. That is path of Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Yoga, by devotion to me alone, may I be known in this cosmic form, O Arjuna, realized truly and entered into, O dreaded prince. That also, Bhakti Yoga, through love also you can one with God. Raja Yoga, shutting out all external objects, fixing the gaze of his eyes between his brows, equalizing the outward and inward breaths moving in his nostrils, controlling his senses, mind and understanding, being ever bent on liberation, ridding himself on desire, fear and anger, such a man of contemplation is indeed always free. So we find all the four yogas finally lead to the same goal. And what is the last? Another mysterious thing I did not tell you. When Krishna, Arjuna said, I want to see with whom shall I fight. Drive my chariot between these two belligerent armies. I want to see who has come to fight with me. I am a great hero. He drove. Then do you know what Krishna did? Krishna just looked his eyes like this. And he saw 18 million people. Then you will find in the 11th chapter, in the cosmic form, Arjuna, when he was reluctant to fight, are you? Why are you reluctant to fight? I killed all of them. They're all dead. But I see they're standing there. Believe you are seeing there, but I sucked all their longevities. Within 18 days, all will be dead. Only 4 or 5 people will survive. You 5 brothers will survive, and the other party only 2 or 3 persons will survive. All will be dead. That is the reason Bhishma's prayer in the Bhagavatam, Bhishma said, O Lord, I remember. I saw you see these people and you sucked all their longevities and killed all people. Alokoshmi kalokshayukrit, I am that Mahakala. I shall remove these sinful people in this world, from this world. That is the reason I was born. Fantastic things are there in the Gita. But Gita's whole mystery, Sanjaya told it in the last 2 verses. Do you know what? I have seen and I have heard what Krishna said. Tatcha sangsmritta sangsmritta rupam adbhutam hare. Now I think that form of Krishna, that cosmic form. O king, he was telling Dhritarashtra, Bhishmaya, I am overwhelmed. Rishyami, I am getting tremendous joy seeing that cosmic form of Krishna. Jatra yogis, where that Krishna, there is victory, there is prosperity, there is fortune, that is my thing. He Rajan, this dialogue is something very great and fantastic. And when the more I think about it, the more I get joy. This dialogue, conversation between man and God. Human beings have problems and how God solved those problems. That is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. I sometimes ask people, those who come for interview, you really want to see yourself? What is going on inside you? Read Gita one chapter every day. Just 10 minutes, 15 minutes it will take. You will exactly see where you are. You see your good side, bad side, everything you will see. You will not have to go to a psychiatrist paying $75 per hour. You will not have to give $75. Just $1 or $2, $5, $6 book you can buy and just you can see what is your position. That is Gita. Book of Life. It is non-sectarian. It is a great psychology, great philosophy, great book of life. We have problems. And how Krishna fixed these problems. I remember I was in hospital. I was not well in 1966 in Calcutta. So a doctor came to me. He used to call me, "Hello, holy man." I was in the hospital bed. The doctor came and he's addressing me, "Hello, holy man. I have no time. Very busy." He's a radiologist. "Could you write down one thing for me so that I can practice?" So he gave me his diaries. So I wrote down, "Uddharet atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmaibhavi atmanabandhu atmaibhari puratmanam." It is in the chapter 6. I think verse 5 or 6. Krishna is telling, raise yourself by yourself. Do not yield to depression. Listen, you are your enemy and you are your friend. Your disciplined mind is your friend. Your indisciplined mind is your enemy. You not have to go search enemy and friend outside. It is all inside you. Well, holy man, that one verse is enough for me. Raise, uddharet atmanatmanam, raise yourself by yourself. Natmana avasadayat, don't yield to depression. Atmaibhavi atmana bandhu, your atman is your bandhu, friend. Atmaibhavi ripur atmana, your atman, mind, is your enemy. Your disciplined mind is your friend, your indisciplined mind is your enemy. What a beautiful verse. Anyhow, I told you there are many, many things I could tell you. But I just told you some. I did not tell the Gita. I just told you that some of the highlights I think about the Bhagavad Gita. Uniqueness of this scripture. Extremely practical. That is the beauty of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, sometimes we read something which goes on the top of our head, but not this book. You will find somebody is talking to you. We need that kind of thing. Somebody is talking to me from inside. All right, up to this tonight.